You may be seated. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In our morning services, we have been making our way through the book of Hebrews, a book, as we have seen numerous times, is really a sermon that was first preached and then recorded and written down for us and for our benefit, for our encouragement. It's a book in which there are both warnings and encouragements. Last week we saw one of the strong warnings in the book of Hebrews, and this morning we come to one of the great encouragements. And so we'll be looking at Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 39. Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 39. And I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we make our way through these verses together this morning. Dear friends, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, our preacher here in Hebrews has been proclaiming Jesus to us. From the very beginning of his sermon all the way to the end, he is relentless in pointing us again and again and again to Jesus. It's important for us to know not only what Jesus has done for us on earth in the past, but also important for us to know what Jesus is doing for us in heaven right now. And what our preacher has been telling us over and over again is that Jesus is our great high priest. He is there in heaven for us. And so we must continue to run to him. In our passage last Lord's Day, the preacher exhorted us by way of warning to run to Jesus. And now in our passage this Lord's Day, the preacher exhorts us by way of encouragement to run to Jesus. And he encourages us to run to Jesus, first of all, by looking to our past, verses 32 through 34, and then looking to the future, verses 35 through 39. And so these are the two points that we want to consider briefly this morning. First of all, that calling to recall the former days, and then secondly, that calling to live by faith. As we look to the past, we also look to the future, and that gives us strength to run with endurance in the present. We begin then with the call to look to the past. Look at verses 32 through 34. The preacher says to the congregation, "Recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." Well, here, the preacher, who certainly knows this congregation well, exhorts the congregation to look back to the former days, those days when they were enlightened, those days when the gospel was first preached to them, those days when they received the good news of the gospel by faith. Those days when Christ and all of his benefits were so very precious to them. Those former days, they cherished Christ and all of his benefits at great cost to themselves, because Faith in Christ resulted in them enduring a hard struggle with suffering. As you may well know, peace with Christ often means struggle with the world. And so it was for these Christians. These were Jewish Christians. These were men and women who had been raised and brought up as Jews, but by God's grace had come to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that brought great struggle and great suffering for many of them. They were publicly exposed to reproach, publicly exposed to affliction, renounced perhaps by their families, by their neighbors, by their communities. Men and women who, because of their faith in Jesus, had lost their reputations and their standings in their communities. They had lost perhaps their businesses. They had lost their influence. And not only did they themselves bear all of this, but they willingly stood with others who were bearing the very same thing. The preacher says, you were partners with those so treated. You didn't neglect those who were shunned. You stood with them. You didn't neglect each other. And certainly here the preacher is reminding the congregation of the blessings that they had as fellow members of the body of Christ. This morning and in previous weeks, we've had the joy and the privilege of welcoming several new members here at Calvary. And it's good that we do that publicly and that we remember what a great gift God has given us in the church. What a great gift He has given us in each other. That we're not called to be Lone Ranger Christians, but that He's given us a family to walk this pilgrim pathway with us. Brothers and sisters in Christ who walk alongside us, who weep with us when we weep, and who rejoice with us when we rejoice. Brothers and sisters in Christ who care for us and love us enough to come alongside us and say, look, brother, look, sister, look to Christ and keep walking in faith, looking to Him. It's a theme that we find throughout this sermon in the book of Hebrews. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to help each other. We need to love each other and to walk with each other. This is what the congregation was doing in the former days. In fact, not only was there a deep union with one another as they walked with each other, but there was also an evangelistic spirit among them. They looked outside of themselves and served those in need. The preacher says, you had compassion on those in prison. And not only that, but he says, you yourselves joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. They didn't just accept the plundering of their property. They did so joyfully. Imagine that after church this morning, after the fellowship meal, you made your way home. And when you returned home, you found that your house had been plundered. And there were even writings along the walls indicating the reason that your house had been ransacked because you're a follower of Christ. You were specifically targeted because of your faith. How would you respond? Well, in the former days, these Christians had joyfully accepted it. They came to their homes and saw their homes ransacked and saw their property plundered and taken from them because they were followers of Christ, and they considered it all joy to be worthy to suffer for Christ. What was it that enabled them to do that? Well, the preacher tells us at the end of verse 34, he says there, you accepted this with joy since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. The world could take your goods, but you knew you had a better possession. The world could take the things that belonged to you, but you knew that you had an abiding possession. In the former days, he says, you knew what was yours. Christ and all His benefits. This is a far better possession than anything this life affords, and it's an abiding one. The preacher says, you used to know this. In the former days, you used to know this, and you lived accordingly. Let that be an encouragement to you today. And they needed that encouragement, because they had found and come to a very difficult stretch of the road, a very difficult leg of the race. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and saying, I can identify with these Christians to whom this sermon was originally preached. Maybe you look at your relationship with the Lord and you look at where you're at and your walk with the Lord, and you must confess that you've hit a dry season. Maybe you're not spending as much time in the Word as you once did. Maybe your prayer life isn't what it used to be. Maybe you feel very dry and very tired and very weary. You've hit a difficult road in the journey, a challenging leg of the race. Your struggles, my friend, and your failings ought not lead you to doubt. And they ought not lead you to despair. Your struggles and your failings ought to lead you to Christ, to run to Jesus. The preacher says, recall those former days in which you lived by faith, a faith that received Christ in all of His benefits, and live by that faith now again. That brings us to the second point in verses 35 through 39, where he points us to the future, but really in pointing us to the future, he's calling us to live by faith. He writes there in verse 35, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. He says, you once had confidence in Christ. Don't throw that confidence in Christ away now. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know persecution is on the horizon. I know you've become weary and tired, but you've not come this far only to give up now. Yes, the path is hard. Yes, the race is long, but in Christ you have all the resources you need. Don't give up. Don't turn away from Jesus. There is great reward ahead, and the reward is Christ Himself in all of His fullness. These blessings that you have begun to experience in part, you will experience in all of their fullness. You're not there yet. You've not crossed the finish line yet. Your race is not done yet. The finish line is still ahead. You have need of endurance. Look at verse 36. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. This is what the congregation needed. This is what you and I need. We need endurance. We need perseverance. We need to press on. Especially when it's hard. The Christian life is not a quick sprint to the finish. You've no doubt seen those events in the Olympics. The 100-yard dash or the 50-yard, and you run very quickly, and in just a few moments, a few seconds, the race is over. That's not what the Christian life is like. The Christian life is an endurance race, a marathon, an ultra-marathon. You need endurance. God's will is that we press on, that we carry on, that we keep on running. The race is long, yes. But the finish line is really not far away. That's what the preacher goes on to say in verses 37 and 38. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It is only a little while, he says in verse 37. The coming one will come and will not delay. Christ is coming. Now, you remember here the picture the preacher has given us in this sermon to the Hebrews. picture he's developed over the last couple of chapters. It's the picture of the Old Testament Day of Atonement, that great day in Israel's calendar, a day that came only once a year. And you remember the great events of that great day, the high point of Israel's calendar, the high point of their year. On that day, and that day only, the high priest would go into the outer court of the tabernacle or the temple, and he would make the sacrifice there in the outer court. And then he would take the blood of the sacrifice and he would part the curtains and enter into the holy place, that place that had the table of showbread and the lampstand and the altar of incense. And he would make his way through that room and then he would part the next set of curtains. And he would enter into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go there, and only once a year. And as he went into the Holy of Holies, he took with him that blood of the sacrifice, and he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And he would minister there in the presence of God on behalf of the people. He would present them to God, as it were, as those who had been washed in the blood of the sacrifice, and he would offer up prayers on their behalf there in the Holy of Holies. And the people of Israel, the congregation, were assembled there outside the tabernacle, eagerly awaiting the reappearing of their high priest. And they would find great joy in knowing that he had been there in the very presence of God, interceding on their behalf, praying for them, sprinkling the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat on their behalf. And our preacher has told us that what transpires there on a horizontal level is meant to communicate a great message to us on a vertical level. Because this is where we are in the history of redemption. Jesus Christ is the great high priest who has made the once for all sacrifice for sins on the cross. He has shed his own blood on the cross, and he has taken that blood with him and has entered into heaven at his ascension and has gone into the true Holy of Holies. And there he presents our souls to God as sinners who have been washed in the blood of Christ. He has removed all of our defilement, all of our sin, all of our shame, all the things that would keep us from drawing near to God have been removed because they've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And Jesus is there in heaven, the true Holy of Holies, for you and me right now, and he's praying for us. Our names are upon his lips. They are written upon his hands. He bears them upon his heart. The preacher has been telling us over and over again that for the believer in Christ, it is always the Day of Atonement. Because Christ, our high priest, is always there in heaven for us. And we are eagerly waiting for his appearing. Eagerly waiting for that day when he comes again, not to deal with sin, but to bring us home to be with him. And he is coming. And he will not delay. And in the meantime, God says here in these verses, my righteous one will live by faith. Those who have been declared righteous in Christ, those who have put their faith in Christ and who trust in him, they've been declared righteous in Christ and they live. And how do they live? By faith. We'll see, the Lord willing, in the weeks to come what faith is all about, as the preacher will define it in the very next verse, or in the verse of chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And we'll see how that worked itself out in the lives of many Old Testament saints and how it is to work itself out in our lives. But suffice it to say this morning that faith is that which lays hold of Christ, and laying hold of Christ does not shrink back from Christ. Faith does not run away from Jesus when the race gets hard. On the contrary, faith sets its sight on Jesus all the more when the race gets hard. It is not of the nature of faith to say, I need Jesus less. It's the nature of faith to say, I need Jesus more. We read here that God is not pleased with those who take no pleasure in His Son, but that He does indeed take pleasure in those who do. The quotations here in verses 37 and 38 come from Habakkuk, part of it from Isaiah. If you were to go back and read that book of Habakkuk, that short book, only three chapters long, you'll see from the very outset that Habakkuk ministered during a very difficult time in the history of God's people. There was great and widespread violence and corruption throughout the land, and judgment was on the horizon. God was going to send the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to carry them into exile. And Habakkuk is living in the midst of that hard and difficult time, and he doesn't know how to respond. How do I live in days like this, where there is persecution, where there is violence, where there is sin, where there is oppression, where there is the threat of judgment to come? How do we live in the midst of all this? And God tells him. He says, you live by faith. You live by trusting in God. Trusting in His promises. Trusting that He is who He says He is, and that He does what He says He will do. And so it is with you and me, beloved. Yes, life at times is hard. Yes, sometimes the race of the Christian life seems so very long. And yes, we do have need of endurance, of pressing on. So how do we do that? Well, we do it not by relying on ourselves, but by relying on Christ, by running to Jesus. And God has given us great helps in that. He's given us the means of grace. Just a few verses back in chapter 10, the preacher exhorted the congregation to not neglect the gathering of themselves together on the Lord's Day, and to do that all the more as they saw the day approaching. And why does he exhort them to that? Because he recognizes that as God's people gather on the Lord's Day, God serves us with the gospel of His Son. He preaches good news to sinners. Sometimes we think that the good news is what we need to be converted, and then once we're converted to God and we put our faith in Christ, we really don't need that good news so much anymore. We can move on to other things. But the preacher reminds us here that no, we never move on to other things. Whether we have been a believer for a few moments, for a few days, for a few weeks, for a few months, for a few years, maybe all our life, always we have need to run to Jesus. Always we have need of the good news. Always we need the gospel. So much so do we need that gospel that God gives us that gospel to hear in the preaching of the word, and He gives it to us to see in the sacraments. This morning we've had the unique opportunity of witnessing both and celebrating both sacraments, both baptism and the Lord's Supper. And maybe you've noted this before as we gather from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. You come and you take your seat here in church and you look up to the pulpit area. And the pulpit is central because the Word of God is central. But on either side of the pulpit, we have the baptismal font and the table of the Lord, the sacraments, which point us to what is being proclaimed in the Word. And it's the good news of the gospel. What is baptism saying? It's saying, run to Jesus. And what's the table of the Lord saying? It's saying, run to Jesus. And what's the gospel saying? It's saying, run to Jesus. Every one of us have need of Him. Every one of us must be running to Him. And here Jesus is telling us, yes, the race is hard, it's long, but here in the good news of the gospel, I give you everything you need. Open your mouth wide and I will fill them. The preacher here is so confident in that the warnings he has given and the encouragements he has given will have their intended effect. That indeed, it will lead the congregation again to run to Jesus. And we see his confidence there in verse 39. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Beloved, how is your soul preserved to the end? How do you endure to the end? How do you keep running the race all the way to the finish line? You do it by faith. By looking to Jesus. By running to Him. And so the preacher has done a beautiful thing here at the end of Hebrews 10. He has pointed us back to the past. He has pointed us forward to the future. And in so doing, He gives us strength for the present. And that's what God does for us every Lord's Day, isn't it? And we see it beautifully this morning in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, and here in the preaching of the Word. This is our orientation. We look back and we remember what Jesus has done for us on earth. We look forward and know that Jesus is coming again, that He will not delay. And we also look up. We look up to what Jesus is doing for us now in heaven. And we commune with Him. We commune with Him now as He shares Himself and all of His benefits with us at the table. And so we are given strength to press on in this gospel food. You see, beloved, in Christ, and in Christ alone, we have all we need for this present life. We have all we need for this leg of the race. We have all we need to cross the finish line. If you've ever run a long race, maybe a 10K or a half marathon or a marathon, you know that there is one sight that is almost as welcome as the sight of the finish line. It's the aid station. That point where you can stop for just a moment and get a drink. Receive some nourishment. Replenish your resources so that you can keep running and keep going to the finish line and rejoice in that finish line. And you can run again with the confidence that in the strength that you have just received, you will make it there. Well, beloved, that's what we receive every Sunday. It's an aid station, if you will. As God serves us with the gospel of His Son, in word and sacrament. Here He confirms our faith. Here He establishes our hope. Here He strengthens us in love. Here He tells us again, wherever we are at in the race, wherever we are at in the pilgrimage, that in Christ you have everything you need. For today, for tomorrow, for the week ahead, for the rest of your life, for eternity. You endure by running to Jesus. Maybe you're in a hard spot this morning. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're weary. Jesus is saying to you in baptism, in preaching at the table, He's saying to you, come. Come and sit down for just a bit and rest. Rest in Me and in My finished work. And as you rest in Me and My finished work, you will find strength to carry on. And you will mount up with wings like eagles. And you will run and not grow weary. And you will walk and not faint. I am with you every step of the way. I've already finished the race. And I assure you that in Me, you too will finish the race. And so let us run with endurance the race marked out for us, looking always to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God, we are so thankful that you have given us the good news of the gospel, and that from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, we can gather here and receive that wonderful gospel again, and that you've also taken consideration of the weakness of our faith, and so have given us that gospel also to see with our eyes at the baptismal font and now at the table of the Lord. It's our prayer, O Lord, that you would feed and nourish and refresh our souls unto everlasting life, and that we may run forth in the strength of this gospel food to serve you with joy and gladness, looking always to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I invite you now to turn with me in your forms and prayers book.